I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 46. There is only one number 46 in the world of motorsports.
Which is?
The Doctor, Valentino Rossi, and his BMW M4 GT3.
That is a really good one.
Yes, it is.
But another option... You ready?
Nope. Mm-mm. No, there's no other option.
Moving on.
Frank.
No, there was another option, but it predates Nate by years. When I was at U. Anyway, so we will stick with the Doctor. Valentino. All right, tonight's episode, we'll recap the Grand Prix in Sin City, Vegas. It was more like the Arctic. Kind of cold.
Yes, I mean, a lot of the pre-race events, a lot of people were wearing some coats.
Yeah. Were there a lot of people there?
No, there were not in the grandstands, but to certain pre-race shows, such as Sky Sports, they seem to think that there's a lot of people there.
Sky Sports, Sky Q, Sky Glass, too? If you're a Sky Q user, subscriber. When Crofty says that, get all excited.
Yep.
All right. We'll recap that. A world championship was clinched.
The drivers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Drivers championship. Yes. And then we will we'll look ahead to this weekend. We'll have our picks for Qatar. Hope you guys have been working on them. We will have news. There was big news in Formula One, which I believe we in the Red Mist Podcast had alluded to for some time.
Oh, yeah.
No.
That it wasn't going to go away.
No, we don't. We are not a podcast that breaks news. No, we don't do that.
We speculated. And when we speculate, we win. We're always right.
And make good predictions.
We do make good predictions, yeah.
Just saying,
sensible predictions.
We don't break news. We create the conspiracy theories.
Yes. Yes.
That's what we do.
But we often prove that our conspiracies are true, and they do often prove out to be real. All right. So we'll go from there. We had a big driver news development in IMSA. We'll break that. Well, we'll recap that. That wasn't broken. That was recapped. And then we'll talk about one of our own back on track this week, past weekend.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And also like everyone to welcome everyone into the Michigan State Memphis watch party that we're doing while we're recording this podcast. So yes. Go green, go white.
After the game that's following up a victorious CU Boulder over UConn.
Right. Go Buffs. Go Buffs. Upset. All right. Let's get into it, gentlemen. Formula One in Vegas. Where should we start?
Oh, Max is the world champion. So.
You want to go right there. Yeah,
Let's go right there. He's world champion. He's done a season in, not the most competitive car, so just proves Zach Brown wrong.
I just had a quick question. How many – he just had a outs – he had a – what was this – he had to outplace Lando by 3 points. What was it – or did he just have to finish ahead of him?
I think both.
Lando had to outscore Verstappen by 3 points.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. All right. So as long as Max kept it within three or less for this race, he would have won.
Yeah, basically.
Which he did, because he got 10, Lando got 9.
Yeah, Yeah, the only it was pretty much Verstappen could be like one position behind Lando.
Gotcha.
For most of the point scenarios,
yeah,
and been fine, but he beat him, so
yep.
Sealed.
Beat him on a weekend when the Red Bull was definitely not in the ballpark.
Nope.
It was not the car to beat.
Nope. Nor was the McLaren. Just to throw that out there.
And dare I say it, nor was the Alpine.
The French after you'd have to call it a victory, moral, then threw up the white flag immensely in Vegas.
Well, not entirely.
Well, they had Pierre Gasly had an amazing P3 qualify.
Yes, like up until the race, they were doing fantastic.
I was surprised. I was like wow.
If we want to back up a bit, we can go back to qualifying, and Pierre Gasly putting it P3 was outstanding. I don't think that shocked me just as much as everyone else. I don't think there was anyone that didn't see that and was surprised.
Yeah, that was a complete shock. I think the biggest shock in qualifying. Let alone, I mean, maybe George Russell getting the pole, but the Mercedes and Ferraris did show some pace throughout practice and qualifying.
Yeah.
So I guess it was a matter of who sits on the pole.
Right, and I guess Lewis not being able to put a lap together in Q3 was probably the biggest disappointment.
Right, because he was moving up through the field. Throughout the race, anyways.
Yeah, but definitely had pace in the car, so would have been probably a little. Well, I don't know about more entertaining, but I mean, like it would have made the race for the win probably a little bit more interesting. Had he not qualified down in 10th.
Yeah.
But I mean, McLaren on a weekend where you know they need to perform in order to stay in the title fight for the Drivers' Championship. They did not, and they come out of Vegas also not only losing the Drivers' Championship, but losing points to Ferrari in the Constructors' Championship as well.
Right?
Yep.
I'm telling you, Ferrari's going to somehow sneak this Constructors' Championship.
I would find it absolutely hilarious if Ferrari could pull it off.
If they can just keep their teammates from, you know.
I think regardless.
Are they just gonna let him race?
Well, at this point, probably. But regardless of the drivers' relationships with one another, it really comes down to whether Ferrari as a team can hit the right setup. Because it seems like they have these issues regardless of if they're winning or if they're the fourth best team on track.
Gotcha.
So I don't think there's... With Sainz being on his way out, he has nothing really to prove at this point. Or any reason to sit back and whatnot. And, you know, when Leclerc is dropping like a rock from pace. I mean,
yeah.
After that first stint, I don't really take I don't take any pity on him because it's like, dude, you were slow. Like, Sainz is just faster than you right now.
Gotcha.
So
yeah, that makes sense.
Right. Which I wonder what's going to happen with Qatar and Abu Dhabi with the two of them.
That's my only concern. Hopefully they don't get into it and they just sort of realize that there's a much bigger thing at stake. And I'm sure there's some kind of performance clause in their contracts if they win the Constructors' Championship. So they should keep that mindful.
Yeah.
I mean, the good thing is Fred'll sit them down, you know? Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think the most volatile one of the two is definitely Leclerc right now. I think he's feeling the pressure. First off, I mean, he's not that much quicker than Carlos. And secondly, for much of the year, Carlos has actually been the better driver. But I think he's feeling the pressure that next year he's not going to be the number one guy.
I don't think either of them are going to be the number one.
Well, I think Lewis is going to be number one. He's the seven-time champion. He's going to be number one.
Okay, but based on salary, maybe. But I'm talking about...
Wait a minute. Based on how many world championships?
No, well, Sean, I don't think they are going to play that at all. They're just going to have at it. Maybe Ferrari will continue inventing when Sainz is gone, right?
What do you mean inventing?
Silverstone joke on the restart where he said to the team, stop inventing.
And he
got the win.
All right. Yeah. Well, I think Charles is sort of starting to feel it. So that's just my opinion.
Well, wouldn't it be something if Lewis Hamilton wins the Drivers' Championship in a Ferrari?
I can see it happening next
to Leclerc.
I could see it happening.
Yeah, I do too.
It wouldn't shock me if he won it next year.
It looks more and more like the right move for Lewis.
I don't think Ferrari
does come out of these last two races with the constructor's title in hand.
Do you know this I found troubling for Mercedes that they actually use the Aston Martin wind tunnel? They don't have a Mercedes wind tunnel.
In Brackley. Do they have
one in
Germany?
Yeah, but the cars are in England.
No, I know that, which is okay, but I mean, I would imagine that they're allowed to do that because of a deal that they make with supplying the engines.
Oh, no, I do, but it's just like, but the Aston Martins has their own wind tunnel and they're not that good.
Yeah.
You know, and like people are going, oh, Newey's going to be there next year. And I'm going, yeah, but the car's already built.
Yeah.
He's there to build the 26 car. He's not there to build the 25 car.
Right. And that's the misconception that everyone has too. Like it,
right.
His effect on the team is a year later.
Right. I mean, and he is technically, he can't start until when's he allowed to start?
Like January? Until the end of next year. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say probably January 1st. I would just call it a new year at this point.
It's not. Yeah. He didn't. It's just funny. You know,
yeah.
I mean, people are like, oh, he's going there. I'm going, yeah, he's going there. But anyways,
right.
Just, I don't know. I think Lewis definitely deserved the driver of the race.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about that.
And I mean, Max for just perseverance and once again, just willing that car and getting that car to a decent qualifying position. But, you know, that managed to have a decent race and then to, secure the championship. I mean, does say a lot.
Oh, yeah. And he's not had the strongest car.
Since halfway, at least.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Thankfully it rained for him in Brazil, so that was nice. But I mean, he's been, like you said, just wheeling that car up the grid to outpace where the car probably actually is. But it's great that he's been able to get the results. But then also, you know, it's they've been fortunate enough that the other teams have been fighting enough where it's not, they can be within reach of one of the teams and be okay, because it's not like McLaren has just been dominating every single race. Like Ferrari dominated the last couple of races, and then
right,
Mercedes won this last one. So I mean, like everyone's been trading off who's been the best, race to race, which is very exciting. Like that's something that shouldn't go unnoticed either. Like, yeah, last season was very historic in terms of just the Red Bull domination and one race away from being perfect throughout the year. I mean, this year is very much is very interesting, based off probably the 2012 season, where you just have multiple race winners over the course of a season. So I mean, it's if this continues into 25, like how we're all hoping it will, next year should really be an interesting title fight, and hopefully it will come down to, like, you know, three or four drivers towards the end of the season. I mean, that would be really exciting.
Yeah, it would be. Definitely.
But then again,
it has been quite competitive this year. 2 hour surprise, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, four teams realistically can win a race, I guess, depending on the track.
I'll actually go to
three teams
where I thought.
Driver.
Yeah, I thought the last race that we had was three teams. The Brazil race was probably the race of the year so far.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I mean, yeah. Max storming through the field.
Yep.
And the Alpines leading and kind of on a redemption tour in the wet. So I mean, I thought it was pretty, from that perspective, I thought that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are probably one of his bigger victories, I think, he's scored to date. Of course, you know, Abu Dhabi 2021 being the best one, right? But
controversy.
Yeah,
controversy.
I know. We're still talking about Abu Dhabi 2021.
Well, Sky Sports is.
Hey, Nate, guess what? You brought it up.
Yeah, I did.
Hey, Sky Sports still is.
I mean, I'm ranking victories here. That's all.
Yeah.
Too good.
All right. Any other takeaways from this weekend?
I got one. Is Vegas here to stay?
Oh, yes. Actually, I did look this up.
Yeah, I would. So, yeah. Do we want to talk about that?
I have some numbers
right now, or do we want to just take a look at just real quick? Do we want to take a look at the constructor standings?
Oh, yeah. Champions Crown.
Champions Crown. I really don't care who, like, no one cares who finished in second.
Yeah, unless you're Lando. Good one. Yeah. Here I'm taking a guess at who's going to finish second, right? It's not me this time. It is Lando, probably, but we'll see.
Nate knows that feeling all too well.
Too well.
All right. So McLaren is leading with 608. Ferrari, two races to go and 24 points behind. Could be tough.
But Qatar.
Well, let's
Qatar
put it this way. Okay,
Sean.
So let's put it this way. If there's perchance a double DNF by McLaren.
Oh.
That opens the door wide.
Oh, wide open.
All right. Or even a double DNF in the sprint could open the door too.
It could. Only
19 points, or I guess 20.
Well, what if Ferrari?
It would be 15 points because it would be eight and seven if Ferrari win 1-2 at Qatar.
Right.
Right.
So I mean, that's that cuts your lead down to 13. That's doable.
Yeah. That's doable. All right. Is there a sprint race in Abu Dhabi?
No. Qatar's
allowed. Yeah, I doubt it.
Oh, yeah. we can't have double controversy. Mm-mm. Okay. All right. Red Bull has third sewed up. Mercedes has fourth.
How far back is Red Bull from Ferrari?
29. It's, and don't forget, Red Bull's a one car team right now.
Well, but Qatar is in the Middle East, and their second driver tends to do well in those tracks.
Oh, he's going to show up?
He might.
All right. Aston Martin looks like they have a lock on fifth. There's a 36 point between them and Haas. it's 6, 7, and 8 that are up for grab. Haas with 50, Alpine with 49, and RB with 46. So this Vegas disaster really kind of hurt Alpine this weekend.
Well, I mean, it was Nico Hülkenberg that got the 2 points.
Alpine scored no points though.
Yeah, right. I mean, let's be real. Without that rain race in Brazil, Alpine is still ninth in the standings.
Yeah.
So like they're not going anyways.
Yeah.
Right.
So right now, whether they finish in seventh or eighth, it's still better than ninth for them.
And RB did not have a great weekend either.
Nope.
So.
Well, Yugi finished ahead of Liam Lawson again.
Yeah.
Yeah, convincingly too.
Too. Yeah.
And at this point, it's like, you know, Yuki is expected to do that, I would say. And it's not trying to make an excuse either for the gap. I mean, like, if he wants the Red Bull seat, he has to prove it. And the question now is, has he done enough?
I mean, he's proving it now. I mean, there's two races left. I mean, and even Yuki's, one of his best tracks is actually Abu Dhabi, where he scored a career best fourth place finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So something to keep an eye on.
Yep.
Anyway.
All right. You want to talk about Vegas?
Yes.
Fan turnout.
All right, Christian, what are your stats going to talk about?
Okay,
your numbers.
I have a report from their Vegas local news saying that F1 reported that just over 300,000 people attended the race over the weekend.
I saw the same thing,
but the Vegas Metro Police are saying that only about 139,000 attended.
Yes,
so half, more than
less,
half.
Less than 150.
Yeah, over the 3 days.
Over 3 days,
and they went a little bit more in detail where it basically said that 32,000 attended Thursday night, 50,000 on Friday night, and 57,000 were on Saturday.
So essentially, they get this each night. They get the size crowd that the Raiders. How big is the Raiders stadium?
Let's look it up.
I mean, essentially, they got a Raiders game crowd.
Their Allegiant Stadium capacity is 65,000.
Okay.
And it's
double.
It's expandable to 71.
Yeah, that's 000. For concerts and stuff.
Probably.
All right, Nate, why don't you have your say?
Well, think about it, right? I mean, you saw it all over social media. There was a lot of, you know, fans at the track. But one thing I noticed was it was, you know, fans taking videos of the cars, you know, driving by. But you saw in the stands that there was all these empty gaps.
Right.
in the grandstand. And this is not in practice qualifying, which I would say can be expected. But on race day, it's a shocking problem because that's where, you know, the big show is. You need to put butts in the seats. And if a project that you're working on isn't working, maybe go to a circuit that already exists and not waste all this money and putting, building a track yourself on a street circuit. And I think I can speak for a lot of people on this. I'm tired of all these street circuits. You know, enough's enough. You tried your stint at Las Vegas. I think it's played its course at this point. Here it is. They can now say that Las Vegas has crowned an F1 world champion.
Right, but here's the thing. Las Vegas, F1 is the promoter of the race. F1 bought the land and all of the space where the paddock area is. So all that structure and infrastructure that's on the where the pits are, where the paddock is, where the corporate suites are, that's all owned by F1.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
that's right.
Yes. And the deal that they've signed is for 10 years. So we have another 8 years of this too.
Right.
They need
the
to
problem. The thing is, it's like they'll claim, well, our corporate and VIP suites, you know, sold out. Yeah, but see, this is the whole problem. You know, the bigger problem I fear, and I think ESPN is starting to allude to this, is how much longer are people going to put up with a race starting at 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, meaning the North American market. I don't care about the rest of the world, okay? Yeah. This race, because Austin and Miami start in prime time in Europe. Mm-hmm. This race starts, like, it's payback to them, you know? They got to get up early to see the race. Like, the Far East and Australia is the only place that sees this race at a normal time, you know? And good for them, because they get punished all the time.
Yeah.
So my question is, how much longer is that going to take or be put up with? I think also with, and we'll get to this in a second, with the announcement of a new team joining, that is going to be another, well, it's going to be the American team. As much as Haas is American, mm-hmm. If you're going to grow the sport here, what do you need to go back to? What's missing from the TV coverage? And Nate, don't say Lee Diffie.
Your own American broadcasters.
You got it.
That's right.
Yep.
Why doesn't ESPN put something together?
Because like everything else in motorsports now, it's cheaper for them to hire, you know, to subscribe to Sky Sports and get their coverage, which is I'm going to be blatantly honest, it's British centric. I mean, everybody that gets that coverage says the same thing, mm-hmm. and I don't understand how, like, broadcast companies put up with, you know, broadcast companies put up with that, because I don't want that, you know. So the question is, if you're going to have this influx of Americans, and then potentially with an American driver or two, what, you know.
Right.
We need, you know, it's going to demand that. I mean, back in the day, yes, they used to go to, well, at speed, they covered the race from Charlotte. I mean, I don't have a problem with them covering the race from Charlotte, but as long as they go live with the U.S. races, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, but or we had to have a pitch pass paddock guy there. That's fine. But I think you got to start. I think they need to bring the American flavor back into it.
Well, right. I mean, because it's more American involved than it's ever been before. The only thing missing is having an American driver on the grid.
Right. Worthwhile. So, you know, if we get somebody like, I mean, and the kicker is out of this whole Vegas weekend, guess who the PA guy was?
Who, Sean?
It was Bob Varsha.
I know.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yep.
Wow.
So I'm not saying bring Bob back or whatever, but bring
Steve
Bob Magid back.
Steve Magid and Dave
I mean, but those guys are all three of them are getting older. It's, you know, whether or not, you know, they want to come back, that'd be great. I think we all would like it. But there is a budding star in North American Motorsports TV that could be put out there. And that's Hinch.
Yeah.
You bring him in. He's got great cachet.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think Sky Sports sees that as well.
Why?
I'm sorry. F1 TV. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. How dare you say Sky Sports?
Yeah, I believe it was a complete brain fart.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. There's only one thing on Sky Sports. Well, there's two things on Sky Sports that I enjoy. I enjoy Karoon, and I enjoy Jensen. The rest of the lot there, it's like a yuck fest. And I'm going to take Martin out of it because I think he just gets trapped in this whole thing. So I'll take Martin, Jensen, and Karoon out of it. And they're all. And what's the common denominator there? They're all drivers.
Right.
Okay. But the rest of it is just a giant yuck fest. And it's just, it's not even, you know, and it's all, you know, it's all bubbly and champagne when a British driver wins. But, you know, when the Brits don't have a good day, it's like, you know, it's like a funeral. You know, you got Ted moping around in the paddock and everyone else thinking like, you know, they lost World War II.
It's true.
And to some degree, F1 TV is getting that way too, and it's rather disappointing.
Yeah.
So the only time, so on F1 TV, my feeling, I like Alex Jakes as a commentator, but I think at times this year he's getting a little too nationalistic with it. Jolyon's pretty normal, I mean, neutral. Hinch, I like. And then, you know, Christian, there's, you know, how can you deny David Valsecchi?
I know. He needs... he has to be there. That is the passion that every motorsports fan brings to the or can bring to the table. I would watch him
it's,
a thousand
half times. Half the time I can't understand what he's talking about, but then I figure it out. And
exactly.
It's awesome.
Exactly. That's all that. And he sits. He still gets amped up as the cars go by. He's like, oh, and here comes
Look
Carlos.
Oh,
no. Listen. Car goes by. And he just stands there and watches it. He doesn't say anything. He just lets the sport do the talking for you.
And then he gets all amped up about something that happened after.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's like, yeah, like I agree. I 100% agree.
He sits there and watches the car go through. And he's like, oh, this is cool. And there's a very scary moment, you know. I could watch him
all day. Yeah. I loved it when he was doing Formula 2 and Formula 3. Yes. It was awesome.
Especially when
it was half crashing into each other.
Yeah. Especially when all the drivers there were a little bit more crash prone.
Anyways, so. But Nate, I think it's a great point that you bring up about this. I mean, how much, like, outside of the fact that, you know, F1 is the promoter and everything, but really, they got to start looking at this.
Yeah, because it's an increasing problem.
And if I go ahead, I'm sorry. Yeah, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. Can you possibly bring? I mean, it was nice that they fought the Ferrari Formula, whatever the Ferrari Challenge there. They got to bring some big name support series there.
Yeah. Just to touch on the Ferrari Challenge races, if anyone hasn't seen those races, they're up on YouTube. You can get both of them. I think it's just like Ferrari Challenge's YouTube page that they were on. But they have both both races up there, and I thought they were great to watch. Pretty much every single one of them was more or less an amateur driver, except for like the four.
Did they have like pro drivers or silver drivers?
It was like four pro guys, but more like pro ams. But like after everyone got out of the car, like these were not your.
Yeah. It's like Ben Keating getting out of the car.
Yeah, they were all your amateur drivers, and everyone was like high fiving. Congratulating one another, like, having a good time. Yeah, having a good time. It was fun to watch that.
Yeah.
But the other thing too is the racing.
I saw that question.
pretty much consisted of just dive bombing one another, and it would be guys coming back like 100 meters.
Yeah.
Just putting it in there, sticking their nose in.
Fantastic.
It was great.
Hey, what if you were going to bring a support series there? What would you bring?
I mean, there's a few that come to mind, but it's a bit ambitious, and it's failed before. Because Champ Car used to go to Vegas during the day, and they had a race, and I think Will Power won, and with Team Australia.
Yeah.
So for starters, this was, I think, 2006,
so what you're saying, if I get this right, is let's have a weekend of open wheel racing. You know, let's put aside the difference between IndyCar and F1. Okay, and let's put aside who can drive things better. Okay. And let's just you know, watch the races, and let's bring fan interest up and TV interest through the roof, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Because you can do a lot. You can bring Porsche Cup, which I mean is probably the same idea.
They do that in Europe.
Which fine, but I think what you're trying to get at is. I don't know. For me, I would want either like multi class sports car racing, or
the only thing with a multi class with an IMSA race, it's got to be 2 hours and something, and I don't think that really fits into their schedule.
No, and that's where it wouldn't work.
Right. Whereas in IMSA with a 2 hour race, it's brutal. It's not on a street track. It's no fun.
Yeah.
Right.
If it was IndyCar for 2 hours, I have no problem with it. I think that would help break the barrier down between Formula One and IndyCar, honestly.
Right, because the last time you can really compare both cars at a track or venue of some sort is COTA.
Or Montreal. Didn't they run in Montreal?
Yeah,
they IndyCar? Did.
A while ago.
Yeah, it's been a while, but...
Yeah, Watkins Glen, back in the day, they did run. They ran after 78 when... what was the last race? 79, I believe, was the last... 79 or 80 was the last race of Watkins Glen in Formula One. I'm just... You know, Nate, that's thinking outside the box. That's where you got to go with this.
Right, because what you're trying now is flat out not working. So now, how do you, you know, kind of reinvent the box?
Right. And the thing with COTA, what they've done well, they've made it into an all weekend event with the support races, with the concerts, things like that, you know? Whereas, you know, Miami, Miami has what? Formula
Porsche
2?
Cup. A Formula 2?
No, no.
And
it's Porsche Cup and F1 Academy.
Oh, and F1 Academy,
okay,
right.
Okay.
And then I would assume a like car corral thing or something like that.
Yeah.
Which, it sounds like a work in progress. But Sean, there's already two racing series with F1.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. All right.
I think next year F1 Academy is slated to go to Vegas.
Yes, it is. Yes.
I mean, so that's one other series to just have some on track action.
Yeah. No, they are. Okay. All right. Big news in Formula One, Cadillac.
Not Andretti.
GM. Okay.
All they had to do to get in
was not have Michael involved, because apparently Michael they didn't like Michael's abrasiveness, it appears.
Unreal.
Anyways, but whatever.
They keep Mario on the board of directors.
Right. It's neither here nor there. It's fine. It's still going to be Andretti's. Everything's Andretti. It's just the name of the team is not Andretti.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
had they gone in and maybe from the get-go, if they had gone in and said it's GM Racing and it's going to be run by the Andretti Racing team, you know, like Porsche or World Endurance and IMSA cars are run by Penske, you know,
right.
Maybe they had done that instead of having Andretti Cadillac or GM, you know.
But that's what it is, Porsche Penske anyway. It's Porsche Penske. Wouldn't you just Cadillac Andretti?
Yeah, but it's just I don't think, and honestly, I think they want to get away from Haas. I'll be honest with you, they want it manufacturer driven. That's what they want.
Which you okay. have that I
get it.
It's still.
Oh, you know, well, you know what? Nate, this is my point. Good point. Because Red Bull, what are they? They're an energy drink.
Yeah.
Not even. Yeah, right.
And who happens to build
a car? Wasn't there a power unit before powered by a watch company? Or what was Tag Heuer?
No, it was a Porsche motor badge as a tag here. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And go back to the days when McLaren had tag engines too. It was the same thing.
Yeah.
No, it's, you know, I get it. All right. But the good thing is they're on the grid. They'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And they'll probably the latest news is that they're going to push for using Ferrari motors. So Mario is off to Maranello for the Hawk.
Yeah. And then hopefully in 26 they'll bring.
No, 28 the GM motor.
Sorry. Yeah. Hopefully in 28 they'll just bring the.
The IMSA motor.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That'd be the best
on
the F1.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I think everyone's ever heard.
It would be good. The good thing is there is a car built. Mm-hmm. It's in the wind tunnel. It's, you know, they're at that point. So
yeah.
Okay.
Did he ask, are they going to go on a date after the game? He's just not buying what the lady official wants to tell him.
No, this game,
it's getting a little out of hand.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of funny watching Izzo and her kind of get into it.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I'm excited. You know. Now the question is, where are we going to go for drivers?
I already have kind of an answer, which is going to sound like.
I know who you're gonna say.
I think you know one of the two.
Can I take a guess before you
go right ahead, and I'll tell you exactly who.
I am seriously gonna guess Will Power.
No. I'll tell you who I was gonna go with, because if I'm Andretti, I would want an experienced driver and maybe a young American driver to kind of. Boost that morale within the American team.
Well, can I just say something? My thought on an American driver is it needs to be a named American driver.
Yeah, that's right. And so what I'm thinking is I can't believe I'm saying this because I've been kind of harsh to Daniel Ricciardo, but I think he may be one of the drivers that would make sense to hire. And then Colton Herta.
Okay. I was going to...
Yeah.
Okay. So no, I like the Ricardo pick. I was honestly, the reason I said Will Power is because I don't know. I was just throwing it out there. Just thought you might have been going off the rails there.
No.
I do not want a ride buyer in that ride.
No,
I don't want one. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well,
so I don't imagine I don't want Logan Sargeant.
No, if he comes
within a sniff of that, I'm out of here. Okay.
That would be the biggest for them to.
Wow.
It would be.
Mark that time.
Yep. Mark
that.
No, but it would be. Mark. Come on. Like, you already got him in F1, and it got ousted out by Williams, and then you're introducing a new team, and then you screw it over by putting. I'm sorry. So there's no way that's going to happen.
No,
I don't think Sargeant's on the radar.
I don't think he is either. I'm assuming. Just let me just go down this route, because Gainbridge and Group 1000 won there, and their owner owns the money behind that, along with a couple large American hedge funds, bigger than what's involved with an F1 right now. I have to assume. And I believe he has his super license. I believe Colton has a super license.
Right.
Okay. So I have to think Colton's at the top of the list. Okay. Now, we're two years out, right? Or a year out, right? And granted, they utilize Honda Motors, right? In IndyCar, right?
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I have to think.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, you do know where I'm going with this. If I was going to go the All-American in on this, I'm going Herter and Newgarden.
Mm-hmm.
Because Newgarden does have a super license.
Well, yeah, he's done everything IndyCar, Championship, Indy 500.
Well, that's qualifies him for that. Yeah. So let's just say he goes. Let's say either he or Herta wins the 500 this year. This is Newgarden's third. This is Herta's first. Milestone wins. One of them, say Herta wins the championship. Young enough to go to Formula One. 5, 6, 7 years, you know, or depending on how long you can keep the career going and still come back to IndyCar.
Right.
Okay. I think Newgarden's at his peak right now. And I think it would be a great, if he was, agree. Let's just say he wins the 500. He's got three. Okay. Which, you go great. Now, but here's the kicker. Now there's no conflict with Monaco and the Indy 500.
Yeah.
So you can come back and do the one-off like Mario used to do when he was in Formula One. But what I don't want to see a ride buyer, and I don't want to see, you know, I'm sorry, I get there's kids in F2, whatever, F3 that are American, but it's, you know, let's put some name in that brings sponsorship to the team.
Right.
And who aren't slouches behind the wheel.
And there's a few of those out there.
Yeah. But again, Danny Rick is a good pick, Nate. I like that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I figure if you're going to go with someone that has been in F1, my two first picks would be Daniel Ricciardo and Valtteri Bottas as one driver. And then the other driver is, you know, an IndyCar driver. And probably along the lines of someone that's in Andretti.
Well, I would say it's going to definitely, out of the Andretti stable, it's going to be her.
Right.
You know, I did see somebody today post, oh, all the Cadillac sports car drivers are going to be putting in for it. No.
No. No.
No. No. No. No. No. No. That's just, it's not happening. It's not happening.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Because you can make a case, you can make a case for Newgarden through the GM ties with Penske.
Yeah.
Which, okay, sure. But he does have the super license.
Yeah.
And I get where you're coming
from. You know who else supposedly has a super license? Is Ricky Taylor.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. I did know that, but I thought it was just the three. Logan Sargeant, Ricky Taylor, Justin Newgarden. I'm not sure if Colton Herta has those super licenses.
Somebody had posted...
Herta does. I'm looking at it right now. He does.
He does.
He is qualified this year. He's eligible, yes, for a super license.
Right, which means he can apply for it and pay for it.
You have to... But my thing is, I don't know how long your suit you get your super license for. So if he's not going to be a driver until 26, right, and his super license for 25 runs out at the end of 25, right, he has to perform
this year
as well. So he needs to be, so currently the way it works is your best three seasons of the last four that you compete in get counted. So for Colton, he's finished since in 21, 22, 23, and 24, he's finished 5th, 10th, 10th, and 2nd. So the both 22 and 23 being 10th, you get 1 point.
Right. So what he needs
after
to
this
do...
year, he's dropping his 5th place from 21 will not be eligible. So he has to make up the difference of 8 points. So he has to finish 5th this year in IndyCar. Or, I'm sorry, this upcoming year in IndyCar.
He's got to finish in the top 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
He finished 2nd this year, so.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So that I think, Nate, like I said, I think that's good. I think you're going to see Bottas to Mercedes as the reserve driver.
Yeah.
Because I'm the more and more I see about this, the more and more Kimi Antonelli is not going to last.
Well,
Sean has a point.
Does Antonelli not last, or does Russell not last?
No, he doesn't last. Russell's out of contract at the end of the year. Russell's out of contract at the end of 25. Mm-hmm. So that's why they keep talking about Max. I don't think Max. I think if Max is going anywhere, he's going to Aston Martin.
With Fred?
Well, somebody. Whether it's Fred, but it won't be Lance, and it's going to be with Adrian. That's why.
I wonder if in the contract, Adrian's like, all right, 2025 is Lance Stroll's last year. Because I'm not building a car. For that guy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I know.
I mean, the other thing, too, is in 26, Aston Martin's going to be Honda. So are they going to have to fall in line with the rule of having a Japanese driver behind the wheel?
Well, in that team? So, let's say, what if Fred's had enough?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Yeah. But
I mean that's probably the more likely scenario that no one wants to bring
up. No one wants to bring up. But who's driven for Honda for the most amount of time right now? Max.
Yeah.
Okay. So do they want to have Max? That's like having Senna drive for you.
Right.
I'm not comparing Max and Senna. I'm just saying that's the
loyalty, brand loyalty you're talking.
Yes.
About.
Yeah. Brand loyalty. Right.
Yeah.
So Nate, great point. I honestly I can't see that kid lasting much longer. I mean, he's unreal. I mean, and the other point that was coming up this weekend has been brought up the last couple of days is Perez's fate is going to be sealed after Abu Dhabi. There is a stakeholders meeting with Red Bull after the race to discuss that.
But They just announced all these sponsors with him in it.
No. But there's a buyout in it, so they can buy it. They can buy him out.
Okay.
So they may, you know, but the question is whether or not they're going to pour more money. It means more money from Red Bull is going to have to go in it, or you know, this. Look, the Calapino story is really nice, but what's happened over the last three races?
He's destroyed a car.
Yeah. So. He's Logan Sargeant. All right.
No. He's destroyed one car. Logan Sargent's destroyed 50 cars.
Nate, I think he's destroyed three cars in total. Yeah. Calapinto.
No, I know. But the
Christian,
the latest
Christian,
one is the worst
Christian,
one.
Christian, no, the one in Brazil was bad too.
That was pretty bad.
He did Brazil. He Christian, did Vegas.
Yeah, how much? Then, do you have the World Destructors Championship up
yet? Oh no, I don't. Not yet. I'll pull that up in a second.
And I know we're running. We're getting close to our time.
Yeah.
As our basement races have to hurry off. All right. Just real quick, into the news. Welcome to GTD Pro, Robert Wickens.
Yeah, he's doing the sprint races, right?
He will be doing five sprint races with DXDT in their Corvette GT3 with this hybrid Bosch system that helps them drive. That the Pratt and Miller guys. Oh, geez, I'm shocked. Pratt and Miller. Actually helped install too. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So,
that's really cool.
Yeah, they haven't named a co-driver for him yet, but very excited for that. That's really cool. That's really, he's done really well in TCR, so good for him.
Yep, won a championship. And
excuse me, sorry, couldn't hit the mute button there.
There you go. He's won a championship, and I mean, he's not lacking skill.
Nope. He's still got that competitive drive. I just think it's an awesome story. Mm-hmm. Very, yeah, very Zanardi-like.
Yes.
All right. So, that'd be cool. Let's move on to a return to racing for Nate Lavender.
Oh, yes. Yep. So, I was given the great opportunity by Alec Vidal and Touring Car Championship. You know, Alec puts together this go-kart for some people to rent it. And, well, no one rented out the final round of the Northeast Karting Championship. And I was racing in KA100 senior class. And it was really cool to get back behind the wheel, because it's been a little more than a year since I last did what was last year, the 12th round at Englishtown. And this was, you know, quote, the turkey race, the 13th round of the Northeast Karting Challenge. Gotcha. And I Saturday, I got some practice time in, did a few sessions. And Sunday came and two warm-ups. You know, we took advantage of those, did qualifying. Qualified second.
Nice.
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah. And
how many cars?
Then, in class or total?
Well, in your race.
Yeah.
So no, don't worry race, about class. In the race.
So in the race, it was I want to say it was 8 or 9.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that many, but it was cool to be back on track, and then we got onto the final. So I'm sorry, pre-final, start second, finish second, and then in the final, I did drop to third, which was, you know, still cool of all the drivers on track. You know, I got up to third, and I fell to third, correct English, and, you know, was able to finish the race. And so that, I just enjoyed my time there. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And you know what third place? You know what third place got?
A tin of cookies.
Yeah, Danish cookies. Tis the season, right? So I was pretty excited about that. It was, if you ask me, it's better than any turkey or pumpkin pie that they were giving out. But
you didn't get that tin of cookies while you were on the ship, and then bring them over, and then use that as a prize to give yourself.
No. Listen, I would have had to find. Which container is it in? Like,
you know what the sad part was? Like, I saw you post. I got a podium finish, you know, and you were like, "Yeah, finished on the podium." And then I said, "Yeah," and you got a box of cookies. I noticed the cookies right away. I was just like, "Oh, that's just pathetic." You shouldn't have done that.
Well, yeah. I mean, they you know, I guess.
No, it's fine. I was just
like little plastic things, which is.
No, I know. I just was laughing. It was like, "Oh, and you got a tin of cookies."
I just go to any grocery store like 10 minutes down the road or whatever. There you go.
Not like the days at F1 Boston when you got those ginormous. Oh, wait, you didn't get one of those.
No, but I always got those.
Somebody here cleaned up on those one year.
Yeah, and the go-karting trophies, like the actual go-kart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The paperweights?
Oh, yeah. Exactly, the paperweights. And
I have downstairs in my basement.
Yeah. I know, I have like a pile of those. It's probably like Lewis Hamilton with the pile of tires at his house or something.
Every time I move that case they're in, I'm gonna throw my back out or get a hernia. I mean, it's like the things are weigh a ton.
They do. Oh yeah, yeah. It's no joke.
But they weren't the ginormous ones that Christian cleaned up on one year.
Yeah. Oh, no. Those are good. Just to get back to the world destruction.
Well, congratulations, Nate, and great to have you back behind the wheel. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
And that's not of a ship either.
Yeah, not of a ship. Yeah, right. They're not the helmsman.
The helmsman, right.
Right. So
just to circle back on the World Destructions Championship, Williams has three drivers in the top six.
And
it's less than 100,000 away from being top five. Williams is leading the constructors part of this.
In the destructors.
By twice the amount over Red Bull.
Sergio Perez, you mean?
Right. Yes. Yeah. It. Funnily enough, the drivers' championship the contribution to the drivers' championship and the destructors' championship is actually inverse at the Red Bull camp. Yeah,
Max got the points, and he's like dead last in crash damage.
More or less, yeah. Sergio is still leading the Destructors Drivers Championship, only by 200,000 over Alex Albon.
Oh.
In third place is George Russell.
Yep.
Fourth. Sergeant. So that number can't move anymore unless he gets called back for some reason. In fifth is Carlos Sainz. I forget which weekends he. Let's see.
And then Calapinto, I would guess, is sixth.
Baku, Singapore, and Brazil was where Carlos racked up his majority of his issues. Calapinto was sixth. So Brazil, Vegas, and Baku was where he racked up damage. And that's 200,000. That covers Sargent, Sines, and Colapinto. Russell is 300,000 clear of Sargent.
What's the grand total on Colapinto right now?
Okay, so Sergio is leading the way at 4.8 mil. Colapinto is in sixth with 2.7. He's basically 2.8. Sargent is at 3 flat. Russell is 3.3. And Albon is 4.6. And even though he blew a motor at Vegas, Pierre Gasly is still at 0 on the season. Because I think they can still dip into their previous engines for the year. Like, they haven't used another engine or anything like that. So it doesn't go against him. Because that was the... that, I thought, was more of the broadcaster's curse on Gasly, was that they mentioned, oh, hey, you haven't had any damage this year on the car. Like, none. And Gasly was like, yeah, I want to keep it that way.
Hey, Christian, I'm sorry. My headphones dropped for a second. What was the damage on Colapinto?
Sorry, Colapinto was 2.8 flat.
And how many races has he done?
Six? Or something?
So...
He hasn't done that much.
I think he hopped in since Baku. So, 4, 6 now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
He's almost 500G a race.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, Brazil was...
Terrible.
That would
Brazil, yeah. between between the last.
Oh, does this include? Does this include Vegas?
Yes, this includes Vegas.
Oh,
Vegas. he put up almost a mil in damage. Brazil was almost 1.5.
Wait.
Oh,
yeah.
Sean, this is terrible. This is not looking good, man.
Look, I mean, the kid is smart. Everyone says that, but I mean, he destroys cars.
Well, okay, so to be fair, up until these last two races, he's had 4 pretty relatively clean races.
All right. I agree, but $3 million? I mean, this is Lance Stroll level.
I get it, but Sainz, up until Baku himself, was pretty much in... down in the bottom 5. Like, didn't really do too much. And then he's, between Baku, Singapore, and Brazil, he's racked up majority of it. So, I mean, yeah, everyone can have an off, but I mean, if you're going to go with just the new guys alone, I mean, Lawson is right down at the bottom. And he's the closest to the amount of races that Colapinto has in this.
Oh,
thing.
Jesus.
So,
All right. Let's
yeah.
Let's move on to our picks. So we can wrap this up.
Yes. All right.
I'll go.
Okay.
I'm gonna go. I think Carlos is gonna build on it. I'm gonna go Carlos. I'm going to go Lewis, and I'm going to go Charles. My dark horse will be... I'm going back on the Yuki train.
Okay.
Very well. I understand where you're coming from. But there's something terrible in me that wants to pick Charles Leclerc to win.
Okay. Yep.
So I think Charles Leclerc is going to win.
Yep.
Let's see. Lando's going to come in second. And then Lewis Hamilton will come in third. And your dark horse, it's going to be... Hey, let's bring the Haas back. I'm going to go with Kevin Magnussen.
We'll see. K-Mag. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna say Max wins.
Oh.
And I think it'll be a double podium for McLaren. So Norris,
okay,
and then Piastri.
All right. Dark... So you're saying a bad weekend for Ferrari.
Yeah. I mean, the only way I really see McLaren falling foul is if they get into each other. I think the dark horse for this weekend, I think Alpine bounces back and Ocon will be the one to watch.
All right.
Very nice.
All right. Well, on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.